What's up, Pewter peeps? Welcome in to the latest episode of the Pewtercast, your favorite spot for all things about your Super Bowl champion, Tampa Bay Buccaneers. That is Ren.
Hello.
I'm Steve Carney. Hello, Ren.
Hello.
It's great to be doing this here on I have no idea what day of the week it is.
It's Saturday. It happens when the wifey leaves, man.
Yeah. as Ren points out there, my wife Emily has been in Tucson, Arizona for the better part of the last week working a convention that she does every single year. And so sometimes the days do clamor together. I was like, is it Thursday? I almost said Thursday. I'm like, no, it's not Thursday. I know that much. And then I had to remember that Friday was I had a baseball game last night, and that would have meant that it was Friday. So it is indeed Saturday. So
we got that straight.
Yeah. I mean, I'm glad I've gotten that out of the way.
Steve, talk it through.
I mean, it's what I do best. So how has your week been, my friend?
It's been good. It's been good. You know, staying busy, real busy. Lots of things going on here at the Dax household. I'm not going to bore you with, but yeah, it's been fun. It's been fun. Lots of go all the time. And now it's go time for the Bucks because training camp starts a week from tomorrow. Like first practice. They report Thursday.
Yeah, it's amazing to think that here we are. It's going to be time for the guys to get back out on the field, whether it's outside at the Advent Health Training Center or inside their indoor facility. If the weather is as bad as it is right now, if you're watching us on YouTube or on Periscope, where you can catch us at the Pewtercast, it's pretty nasty out right now here in the Tampa Bay region. The thunderstorms rolling through the Pinellas County area of St. Petersburg, where Ren and I are both living right now. So
it's worse than the hurricane.
It is worse than the hurricane. You know, it is funny that we mentioned that this is worse than the hurricane that came through. Shout out to John, who is first up here, first comment of the night on YouTube, Swamp352. Welcome to the show here this evening, because we've got some pretty interesting topics to go through as we are just about a week away from the start of things getting going. It is a great feeling that we're going to actually see guys out on the field going through drills, trying to get ready.
Did it come quick for you this year?
Yeah, it did, because
Obviously, for a month and a half extra.
Yeah, you played all the way into February, which is kind of unusual when you think about it. The Bucks hadn't done that since 2007, and here they are going all the way through to Super Bowl 55, and having it in the home stadium probably doesn't make things any longer either. So it certainly feels like the Super Bowl was just here. Last week. But yeah, we've got drills coming up. First practice, as you mentioned, and Sunday. that means that we're, you know, just a couple of weeks away from the first exhibition game.
Yes. So we're going to talk about everything you need to know.
Yes.
And everything you need to ask.
Yes.
You can ask us, but we're not stupid. We understand that you follow other outlets and watch other, YouTube channels and listen to other podcasts. And a lot of these people have mailbags and they're on Twitter. We're going to go over everything that you need to ask them and ask us and what to watch. And when you hear these updates, these are the things that you'll be looking for, that are going to make the difference, people making the roster and, lots of depth pieces and things like that. That'll be fun. And then we're going to sort of fix the Ring of Honor. Monty Kiffin is now the 15th. Yes. 15th or 14th.
14th.
14th person in the Ring of Honor. You know, the Bucks are doing two people at a time for a while. And then you kind of think about it. You're like, how does a team that, before last year, out of the four major sports, had the worst winning percentage, or most losing percentage, I guess you could say. Yeah. That doesn't make any sense. Like, had the worst winning percentage of any pro football team, the Big Four, baseball, basketball, football, and hockey, putting in two people at a time. Like, what's going on here? Like, you know, you've had like 10 winning seasons in 45 years. Like, what's up? So we're going to take a look at it. We're going to discuss who's in there, who may or may not be deserving or shouldn't be in there. Because if you treat it like the Hall of Fame, not the Hall of Very Good Buccaneers, but, you know, like, treat this like these guys belong in the Mount Rushmore of Buccaneers. Like, who really belongs in the Hall of Fame? And then future players that might go in, but we set up a little rule, which is, we'll get to, but I'm going to spoil it. We're going to keep it at 14. So if you want to put Mike Evans in, eventually you got to take somebody out. So we're going to do that. But first,
yes,
we're going to talk about training camp and
Manscaped. Oh, I thought you were going to tee it up for me there.
That was the tee up.
That was the tee up. I thought you were going to tee it up a little differently. But yes, our good friends at Manscaped are back with ComputerCast here once again. And, you know, with everything that's going on right now in sports, you've got Major League Baseball going, NFL training camp, as Ren has mentioned, and I've mentioned, starting up here in about a week or so. Plus, you've got the Olympics and all, you know, the soccer that's going on, and everything that's going on. You know what all of these guys and women have in common? They take care of their bodies. And one of the ways that they're able to take care of their bodies is through their grooming techniques. Absolutely. That's where Manscaped comes in. And Manscaped has a brand new product that they want you to check out. It is the Lawnmower 4.0 trimmer, which has a new 7,000 RPM motor, new multifunction switch with the travel lock. And also put out a
new model quicker than Apple. I think they've been around like 2 years. Every 6 months, they're like, we got it. But it's always so much better. But
yeah, please continue. Well, I mean, and it's got like a spotlight down there. It's got like this big bright LED light. So you don't, you know, is that a shadow? No, you definitely know it's not a shadow.
No, you don't want to be doing that.
You definitely want to take care of that. And it's also part of their new package that they have, the Performance Package 4.0, which comes with the lawnmower trimmer, also comes with the Weed Whacker ear and nose hair trimmer, some Crop Preserver ball deodorant, Crop Reviver toner, and a couple of free gifts, including a travel bag to carry it all in, and also a pair of their Manscaped Performance Boxer briefs. And you can get all of them at a discount thanks
to Sing and Dance ComputerCast.
They sing and dance, absolutely. But you can get it at a discount thanks to the PeterCast. If you go to manscaped.com and you can use the promo code fansided20, you'll get 20% off and free shipping on the Performance Package 4.0, or if you just need one of the pieces from the package, say you only want the ear and nose trimmer, the weed whacker, you can get that
underwear.
or the underwear. Yes, they do have, they've got all sorts of gear as well that you can check out. And again, you can get your order 20% off plus get free shipping by going to manscaped.com and using the promo code FANSIDED20. You can achieve public glory this year with Manscaped. Coming up.
You're right. You go. Do it.
Absolutely. Thank you so much. coming up, we will have we will take a look at training camp, which gets going in just over a week. It's who and what to watch for out at the Advent Health Training Center. So
I doubted you.
That's quite all right. That's quite all right. Hey, with the training camp coming.
Yes.
You know, it's going to be weird this year because for the second straight year, the general public is not going to be allowed in to these practices.
Yeah, how do you feel about that? I think that's kind of dicky.
Yeah, well, I can understand if you're concerned about, you know, COVID and social distancing, and especially because cases are starting to go back up again around the country. And even
how happy do you think Delta is? I mean, Corona was like, can you Corona's, stop calling it Corona? Can you just call it something else? And everyone call it COVID. Now the new variant is called Delta. And I'm sure like the airlines is like, seriously? Like,
I will tell you who's happy. Southwest.
US Airways.
United. they're the happiest people ever. So I certainly think that you know, if they're doing this because they're looking to try and limit the amount of I don't think so either.
No, because no, people are getting in, but you got to be a season pass holder.
Yes.
Or club, which is like, I mean, I can understand, because I think I heard someone report on what someone said in the organization was, we don't even have enough open spots, because you got to reserve a ticket, but you always had to do that. Mm-hmm. I think I saw something where it was like $5 a ticket, which, by the way, if you do that, that means other team scouts can come and watch your practice. So don't do that, Tampa Bay. Washington did that. Like when Snyder first took over his first year, he started charging people like $15 to come watch training camp. And someone went, now like the Saints can go, or the Cowboys can now go watch your training camp because you're charging them, which is kind of a weird rule. But anyway, but so they're saying that they don't have enough spots available for everyone that has season tickets or, you know, suites to be able to get in to watch practice. But do all those people want to go? You know, and there's got to be, I mean, they're doing the Women of Red, which of course is great, but, you know, there's not just sort of like the ham and egger. I mean, I'm sure there's a lot of people out there that, you know, work the 9-to-5 job that has like a wife and two kids. And, you know, even if the wife doesn't want to go, that's 3 season tickets worth of, you know, that's like, you're talking about $6,000, $8,000, $10,000 that they can't spend. And every year, maybe they go once, twice, maybe 3 times, or maybe it's just 1 time where they get to go and like they get to see the players and they try to get autographs, you know, with the kids, bring the kids up. That's their day.
Pictures.
Yeah, that's their day. And now they couldn't do it last year. And now they're not doing it this year, because it's not because they're not letting anybody in. They're just not letting anybody in unless they're only letting the people that spend the most money with the organization, which is kind of, I think it's crappy. You could do it just 1 day.
Yeah, I would think that, you know, even if you did it so season ticket members get priority Monday through Friday, but then everybody is thrown into a lottery for the weekend practices.
Yeah.
So people that have normal jobs.
There's so many ways you could work around it. So,
I agree with you wholeheartedly about it. I hate the fact that, you know, just the Joe everyday Bucks fan, you know, the guys that can't afford season tickets because, you know, they work in,
They work weekends, so they can never. They can never go to a game. They can't go to 8 games on Sunday.
They're service industry guys.
Yeah,
those guys are gonna get hosed out because they can't afford to be a season ticket holder, and other people are gonna get hosed out because they can't go during the week because they're working their normal jobs, and so I don't like it. I wish that I've said this before. I think it would be best if they just put everybody in a lottery and drew names.
That's how they always did it. It was first come, first serve. Like there was 2,000 tickets available every day. Like they'd go, okay, now it's live, and you'd pick your days. And I mean, I would pick every single day and I would go boop, and they would, I'd always got it. But once it hit 2,000, it was over. So, you know, and that was that. And then you'd get like a QR code on your phone that day. Yeah. They'd send it to you and they'd scan it, and that was it. I mean, that's how they've always done it. But again, you know, I understand, but they capped it anyway. So now I really, now I'm thinking about it, I don't understand, because if they're capping it now, they used to cap it before. And I think they capped it at 2000 previously. Mm-hmm. Maybe they went, maybe it was a little higher, but anyway, since they won the Super Bowl, I'm giving them a pass. The end.
This year,
this year, yeah.
This year, coming off the pandemic and coming off Super Bowl. Okay. I get it. You don't want to, yeah. you don't want to deal with a database of 60,000 people that are trying to get him, which, by the way, if you're the Bucks, if you do this, now you have 60,000 email addresses mm-hmm. that you can use for your marketing.
Back on a waiting list.
Yeah.
Seat licenses. You had to pay $5,000 you had to pay the right to buy season tickets.
I know.
And there was a waiting list.
I know. Just wait until the Glazers get to the point where they feel that Raymond James Stadium is no longer viable to be upgraded, and they're going to want a replacement, and they're going to put it back where old Tampa Stadium was.
There you go.
They'll just build it back there, and we'll have another new stadium. I'm not saying that's coming anytime soon, but when it does come, there's going to be personal seat licenses coming back again, and so just.
I don't think anyone will do that ever again.
Really?
I don't think so. I think everyone will be like, go screw yourself, I ain't doing it.
That's a huge revenue stream.
Yeah, but so's TV. I mean 65,000 at 5,000 is, yeah, I don't want to do
it. It's about $40 million.
Is it really? Yeah. Okay. That is a lot. All right. Anyway. Training camp.
Yes.
Do you want to start with offense or defense?
Let's start with offense because, right. For me, most everybody, if you're thinking about offense, yeah, obviously you're going to be looking at the old man, coming back for yet another run.
Yes.
After playing almost all of last year with a torn MCL, as we found out this week.
Yeah. Thanks, Rick Stroud.
I think most people will be looking at Brady, but to be honest, the most important things that are going to be happening are going to be in front of and directly behind Tom Brady, in my opinion. And yeah, so,
what you need to watch for is who's going to be QB2. Like, mm-hmm. Trask is making the team. Okay, end of story.
Yeah.
So, like, what's going to happen with Ryan Griffin? Are they going to keep four? Are they going to try to put him on the practice squad? I know he's a vested veteran, but you can put him on the practice squad. It's got no rules. I'm not exactly sure exactly what they expanded him last year along with the IR because of COVID. Mm-hmm. I know lots of teams like that. I haven't exactly found out or seen anything if they're going to do directly that or a version of that or go back to what they used to do.
I don't think they're going back. I think they're going to stick with this.
Yeah.
I think they like the idea of being able to put, I mean, vested veterans are going to make more money than unvested veterans that are on the practice squad, obviously.
Right.
But I think that they like the fact that teams can have that, the comfort of depth, of extra depth.
Have guys there. So when it comes down to, like, RG3 or RG4, Ryan Griffin 4, there's nothing he can do. If the Bucks keep four, he's on. If they don't and decide to keep three, he's out. He can't win it. He's not going to win the third job. He's just not. And period, end of story. No problem. So really what you're looking at is Trask or Gabbert, and can Trask overtake Gabbert and become number two? I'm going to say no, on a couple of reasons. One, I think Blaine Gabbert always said, I think he can win 10 games with this roster. Now that there are 17 games, I'm up that. I think he can win 11 games. I think he can win the division this year. I think the Bucs would still win the division here if Blaine Gabbert was the quarterback. Now, because there's so much talent on the roster, I'm not going to sit here and say that they're going to the Super Bowl and the NFC favorites, because I haven't seen Blaine Gabbert play, the second half of the Detroit game, but Detroit was real. Like, Detroit had packed it in.
They're horrible.
And they had packed it in, man. Like, yes. They were like, they were talking about golf and cookie recipes, like after week 12, like it was over. So you can't really count that. And Blaine Gabbert had like seven offensive coordinators in 6 years, And I know a lot of people laugh and giggle when I say stuff that he's going to go ahead and you know, win 10 games and, or 11 now if they're 17. But remember, we used to laugh at Tannehill, you know, when Tennessee took him. And it's like, what? Like Tannehill's going to start in Tennessee? Okay, well, good luck. All right, he's only gone the AFC Championship game, made playoffs like 3 years in a row.
How do you like that, Miko Grimes?
Yeah, so, you know, so like it's in that vein, if Bruce Arians is a quarterback whisperer, and I know he came out and said that Blaine Gabbert's the most underrated player in NFL history. Okay, hyperbole. But that tells you he believes in him.
Yeah.
And if the quarterback whisperer believes in him, who has coached Ben Roethlisberger, Peyton Manning, Tom Brady now? Who else did he have? The guy that quit.
Andrew Luck.
Yeah, Andrew. I mean, so he's done the who's who and he's seen it. And if he likes Blaine Gabbert, and Jason liked Blaine Gabbert because he said it a bunch of times, I think Blaine Gabbert's the guy. And Trask is, I'm excited to see what he does in the preseason games. They're going to be must watch for Trask. But as far as taking over QB2, I say no.
Yeah, I agree. I agree with you. I give you a little bit of business for your infatuation with. I call it infatuation, but you like Blaine Gabbert. You think that Blaine Gabbert is a good, serviceable quarterback.
I think he's better, much better than everyone else thinks he is.
Well, he was a first round pick, so obviously, a lot of people thought, somebody at least thought that he was going to be a good starting quarterback in this league for a number of years. Now it hasn't come to pass because, well, like you said, 7 offensive coordinators in 6 years, and he bounced around to some awful organizations. I mean, it doesn't help when you get your start in Jacksonville. But I think that, you know, Gabbert is at a point where, you know, he obviously is going to be much more well versed with the offensive playbook than Trask could ever think of being, even after a full training.
Yeah, Gabbert was running this offense before, you know, 2 years before he got to the Buccaneers, because he ran it in, you know, Phoenix.
Yes.
So
I think you are absolutely correct that, you know, the quarterback order is obviously Brady, Gabbert, and then Trask is your number three, because you're not going to be able to, well, you're not keeping 4 on the active roster.
No.
And of the 4 that you have, the only one that you can even pray to get through waivers to get him on the practice squad is RG4.
Yeah.
So
RG4 that won't go to waivers, just a technicality, because he's a vested veteran.
Yeah.
So as soon as they cut him, he can sign whoever he wants. So it's up to him but he's probably not going to get a lot of offers. So it's probably going to come down to, you know, practice squad for the Bucs or practice squad for, you know, someone else, you know, eventually. How about this before we move on to another position, because this is something that has been going around. Rob G brings up, could the Bucs be fined for allowing Brady to play with the injury? I've been hearing rumors. Now that's not, again, a technicality. You let anybody play with an injury you want. What he's really saying is not putting Brady's MCL tear on the injury report. Now, the best argument against this I've heard is that he didn't miss any practices. So he was playing hurt. He wasn't injured. So what do you think?
Yeah, to me, and you know, knowing some of the people that are out in Las Vegas and how this, how the injury report works, he was never limited in practice,
right?
So you wouldn't put him on a midweek injury report,
right?
And he was never anything other than, you know, he never got to, and there was never any thought of whether he would be questionable to play.
He was
so
just
you're
hurt.
Not going to put him, you're not putting him on the end of the week injury report. Yeah. So no, he did not need to be on the injury report at all. And so there's not going to be any fines for the Bucs. They're not going to get any repercussions for not putting Tom Brady on the injury report at all last year. It's just not going to happen. And any rumors that you may hear out there of people thinking that that the Bucs could receive some sort of repercussions, whether they're fines or whatnot. And that would be, I believe, Mike Florio of ProFootballTalk.com that's been talking about it.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's the rumor that you're hearing.
Wasn't he the guy who also started banging on BA when BA talked about, he called him for tampering when it was the owner's meeting, and his bits from Joe Buck's fan, like, you know, like, well, you know, like, well, who would you call? You know, and BA goes, Tom Brady. And everyone's like, that's tampering, because Tom Brady was still a Patriot at the time. You know, so that's considered tampering, because he's saying it out loud that, you know, they're interested in Tom Brady and he was still a Patriot. Was that Florio who was the one who was like, they're going to lose draft picks? Yeah. Does he have a problem? Is there something I don't know about? Or is that just him? Like, like the Glaze? Okay, that's just him.
That's Florio. I mean, okay. that's the lawyer in Florio. So
and he's not wrong.
No, he's not. But he picks up on all of those little, you know, little things that come out, the minutiae.
You give a half hour speech and he picks out that one sentence.
Florio is the king of minutiae.
All right. Cool.
So I don't have a problem with Mike. I've known Mike a long, long time, almost 20 years now.
Oh, really?
Oh, so, yeah. He used to come on every week with Big Dog way back in the day. So like we were one of the few first people to get Florio on.
So you guys made Florio.
I wouldn't say we made Florio.
Yeah, you did.
But we were one of the stations that considered him to be a legitimate voice.
Yeah.
And like so that. we loved having him on. We've got we've had a number of guys that are like that.
Can you reach out to him and bring him on this show so we can call him Dum Dum?
Florio, why are you an idiot?
What's your problem, dude?
I do have Florio's number in my phone. So
maybe later.
He has not responded to a text of mine in years.
So, oh, really?
Yeah.
What a douche.
Well, I may have an old number.
Nah, so. Let's go with the douche.
So.
So what do you want to move on to? Running back, receiver, tight end? Yeah,
let's move behind Brady.
Okay.
To the running backs. I mean, obviously you're going to see Rojo and you're going to see Leonard Fournette. You know, for me, I want to see Gio Bernard in the system. I want to see how that works out. I think that's probably the one, that's probably the biggest running back, what to watch for here, because you're going to be seeing,
something different.
Gio and Keyshawn Vaughn.
Guy.
Oh, you're looking for sneak.
I'm not sort of looking for him to shoot up the charts. I mean, okay, let's break it down. Fournette and Rojo are going to split time. They're both 1-2, 2-1. Depends on injuries. Who's hot? You know, someone starts.
Who's bitchy?
Exactly. It's all like they're all going to do it. I think Rojo's the better runner.
Mm-hmm.
And I think Fournette is very capable as well. I think Fournette's a slightly better pass catcher, but that's not really saying a lot. Giving Rojo's bar where he is at a pass catcher, really, really hurts him.
And now, then you got to look at Fournette and the wear on the tire. You know, there's how much tread's left on the tire, because he's got used a lot over the course of his NFL career.
Yeah, and college, when he was healthy in college, he was, he was like the Doug Martin, Ray Rice, like you're getting the ball 25 times a game.
Mm-hmm.
So then we go to Giovanni Bernard, who is going to slide right in and be the third down back, because he's best at blitz pickup. He's best at catching the ball. He's best at running routes. He's best. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't even be surprised to see Gio even start getting some snaps on first and second down if an injury happens. Like you said, someone gets bitchy. Things happen during the season, so I wouldn't be surprised. But every time you ask BA, he keeps bringing up how good Keyshawn Vaughn looks in practice. And then he got into the Washington game in the playoffs and he fumbled. Yeah, like this kid is snake bitten. It seems like he touched the ball 12 times and fumbled 3. And, you know, one was sort of like, did he catch it or didn't he catch it? And one was like, did he fumble? It was all really close. And it was just, I don't think he's a fumbler. It's just kind of like, you know, he's just sort of like, what's the worst thing that could happen to him? And it just, you know, it was almost like the universe was against him.
He is bad luck Schleprock.
There you go. Bad luck Schleprock. Is that from anything? Should I know that reference?
It's a Flintstones
spinoff
about Pebbles and Bam Bam as teenagers. And one of their,
one of their
friends is this guy who everything always bad happens to him. And his name is Schleprock.
All right. So he's like the pig pen.
Yes. Yeah. He's the dark cloud over him, you know, just raining on him.
All right. Poor guy. Anyway. Yeah. Bad luck Schleprock. Yeah. So that's what we're going to call Keyshawn Vaughn. Sneak Vaughn. It is now Schleprock. Bad luck Schleprock Vaughn. Very, very royal. Very royal title.
There you go.
You have good bloodlines. So that's what I'm going to be looking for. I'm going to be looking for, because, you know, all reports last year were Vaughn didn't look, you know, there was nothing special about him in training camp, you know, like never flashed, never showed anything. But the coaching staff kept saying yes, 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 yes. And he kept waiting for it to happen. He did have a good game, not a very good game, but a good game in the Detroit game when everyone got pulled. That's when Gabbert came in and I thought Vaughn, that was probably his best performance as a Buccaneer. He did have a touchdown reception earlier in the year, way early in the year. I think it was in the first quarter of the season. And he looked good at catching the ball there. So that's what you got to look at. You want to watch Gio Bernard and see how professional he is and how he's going to pick up the blitz and how good his hands are and his route running. And you're going to really like, wow, this guy's really good.
And then bad luck Schleprock Vaughn and go, what the hell are you doing?
Or not. So it's the maturation as a football player process for Vaughn. And you get to really see how good Giovanni Bernard is. And it's really going to help this team. So that's what I'll be looking at.
Yeah.
And what you should be looking at and asking about, you should be asking about Sneak Vaughn a lot to everybody else. One reason is it's selfish because I want to know. So the more you ask, the less I have to.
The more Ren doesn't have to. Absolutely. So now we've moved from behind Tom Brady.
Right.
Let's move in front of Tom Brady to the offensive line.
All right.
For me, obviously Robert Hainsey.
Yep.
Got to be his numero uno.
Draft pick out of Notre Dame.
Yeah,
BA said he can play all spots. He exclusively played center during OTAs and minicamp. Mm-hmm. I will be very interested to see during training camp if he stays there, because if he stays there, that can tell you two things. One, they need a center in the hopper because they really don't have a high draft pick day one or day two center on this. A lot of these guys are learning center, as Hainsey is. It could be that, or it could be that they think going forward next year, salary cap wise, it's the last year for Ryan Jensen.
Mm-hmm.
So they might be hoping and, you know, trying to, groom him and season him to slide in as a starting center in 2022. So yes, Hainsey is a big key to the offensive line going forward.
Yeah. And to me, the other thing is, of course, the health of Alex Kappa.
Yep.
Having a season ending injury last year in the playoffs. I would think that that's probably another guy that you could look at. And if Hainsey is playing guard, that might be a reason that you could see him. And then, of course, if Tristan Wirfs is doing 60-inch box jumps outside, you definitely want to watch those.
Yeah. With a weighted vest on.
With a weighted vest on from a seated position.
Yeah.
It's just son of a. Unbelievable.
He's crazy. He has no idea how good he is. Did you watch him on the Pewter Report podcast?
I did.
Did you get, like, I can't believe they just glossed over that. At one point, listen to this, everybody. At one point during the Pewter Report podcast, it's early in training camp.
Mm-hmm.
Because remember, there's no OTAs and all that stuff. And he says Shaq Barrett is working him, like, just, you know, blowing by him, can't stop him. And Tristan Wirfs, who's considered a top five tackle both sides right now in the NFL, said he was going home thinking that this may not be for me. I might be cut out for this because of how bad Shaq was beat. I know. And they go, and you hear Cook laugh, go, really? And then Scott just bowled over with another question. I'm like, what?
Yeah.
I'm like,
how are you not dissecting that?
Yeah. Why
isn't the next question out? Like, so what changed? You know, yeah. Did things slow down? Did Shaq kind of take you aside and go, look, this is what you need to look for out of an elite pass rusher? Because this is what I want to do. And there are a lot of guys that look like me, that rush kind of like me. And these are the things that you can look for here. And
yeah. And when did it click that, okay, yes, I can do this.
Not only can I do this, but I can go almost a full season and only give
it. But I should have been in the Pro Bowl last year.
Yeah. I don't know if this was my thing, but I should be going to Orlando for the Pro Bowl.
I know. I couldn't believe that. But anyway, you were saying Tristan Wirfs. Yes. Yes. Anything else in the offensive line for you?
Now, for me, I mean, you look at it between Donovan Smith, mm-hmm. and Allie and Jensen, yep. and the left side of the starting offensive line, you know, it's as steady Eddie as could possibly be. For me, it's Hainsey and the health of Alex Kappa. Those are the two things that you need to look for, and maybe who's, you know, the guys that are going to be entrusted to be, you know, the backup tackle, you know, the swing.
That's what I'm looking at. You know, before I get to that, I just want to say real quick, Brandon Thorne, who's kind of like an interior guru, dropped his top 100 list, mm-hmm. or 50, top 50. And so he has it like unique, which is like super special talent. And I think it was like Miles Garrett and Aaron Donald. And I think that was it. And then it was like tier one, and the Bucks had three guys in tier one. He had Marpet, he had Wirfs, and he had Jensen. And he said he always gets the most pushback from Jensen, but if you kind of read the blurb, so if you want to read that, that was cool. I don't think no one else made it. You know, Donnie Smith didn't make it, and Kappa didn't make it. But yeah, three guys made it into basically his tier one. He had like the freaks, you know, the Hall of Famers basically. And then, but these guys are in the best of the rest. They're all in there. So that's exciting. I'm looking, like you brought up at the end, I'm looking at what the backup's going to be. Hainsey, of course, we talked about, you know, he's going to make the team no matter what. It's fun to see. I'm really interested if they're going to stick him at center or they're going to move him around during training camp, during games. It looks like Josh Wells is sort of the next left tackle off the bench. Even when Donovan Smith goes down, I would expect to see Wells, especially early on in the season, instead of Hainsey. Hainsey played, you know, he did play like 34 games at tackle for Notre Dame, but they're all at right tackle. So
yeah, and you're not going to move Tristan over there.
At least
to start.
Yeah. Yeah. So you kind of want Tristan to stay where he's at. Also, Brad Seaton's back, the only Buccaneer to opt out last year. He is a mountain of a man. He's like 6'9", then put cleats on him, which is like an inch and a half, then put the helmet on another 2 inches. He's like 7 feet walking around out there. He's huge.
It's the Empire State Building.
Yeah. So he's back. He'll be vying for that left tackle spot as well. Then there's some interior guys, a guy I like that we hung around last year named John Mulchum. I believe he's from Boise State. Don't quote me on that, but his picture, he doesn't look like this anymore, but his picture, he's got the Pringles. If you look at a Pringles can and the Pringles guy, that mustache.
Oh, he's the mustache, the handlebar mustache.
Yeah, he has, and it's nice and thick too. It's not just the thin one. It's the big, thick one. So he doesn't have it anymore, but I just like Mulchum, and I kind of globbed on to him last year because of that. And then you got Hutchinson, who was a high value undrafted free agent signee. Bucks do this almost every year. They target a guy that they break the bank, and I'm doing air quotes because an undrafted free agent really isn't breaking the bank when you see other people's salaries, you know. But for an undrafted free agent, they throw money at these people to make sure they're in. And it's Hutchinson. He's an interior guy, center guard out of South Carolina. People in the know were like wanted them on their team and think they got a player there. But I remember hearing that about the guy from Texas A&M in the cornerback room last year, and he didn't make the team. So take that to what it's worth. But those are the guys to watch. It's sort of like the front five are set.
Hainsey is set.
Gainsey set. Yeah. So it's Wells, Seton, Mulch. I'm going to see if he can hang on to a roster spot and see if Hutchison is really as good as that people think he is. He could be the diamond. He could be the Aladdin. He could be the diamond in the rough, Hutchison. So,
and of course, you think about it, you know, how many offensive linemen are you going to carry this year? You're going to carry
nine.
Yeah. So if you've got the starting
seven on five, game day.
Yeah. Yeah. So you're going to have the starting five and Hainsey and Wells, and then everybody else is battling for the spots to be inactive on Sunday.
Yes. Yes. So you're batting for the clipboard, but hey, man, you get all the gear. Get all the cool swag, get to wear.
That's right. and donate to the Goodwill on Hillsborough Avenue when you're done.
Right?
Like Dirk Cutter.
I kind of wanted one of those because it had his name in it. Like, I don't care. Like, oh, a coach wore it. I'm like, okay. Like, good Dirk Cutter wore this. Okay. But it had his name. Like, I could prove it. You know? Yeah. Like, this was Dirk Cutter's shirt. Or I would have got more of a jacket thing, not a t-shirt. But
yeah.
Anyway.
You get the hoodie.
Tight end or wide receiver?
I would say you probably could lump all of that in together.
Pass, I don't want to.
You don't want to? All right. Well, then we'll stick. Then we'll move. We'll go from the inside out. We'll go to tight end here this year. Obviously, Anthony O'Clair is no longer with the club.
Yep.
So you know, you're looking at you know, Cameron Brate, Rob Gronkowski, mm-hmm. and of course, OJ Howard.
Yes.
And that's the guy that I'm sure that everybody is going to be asking about, that's because it. You're a first round pick and you're coming off of yet another season that mm-hmm. you lost due to injury. So yeah. it's going to be about, what does he look like? You know, how is he moving? Because coming off of a torn Achilles, that is a devastating injury for a pass catcher.
Yes.
So that's for me, that's the only person that you should be asking about is OJ Howard.
Yes. And how excited you are about it. We could talk about tight end four. It really doesn't matter. They're never going to play. They might not even be active. They probably will for special teams, but anyway, it's last year. And I was telling everybody this that would ask, I do other podcasts and I was like heavy into the locker room for a while. And people would bring me on and want to talk about the Buccaneers. And I kept telling her, I'm like, look, guys, OJ Howard is the guy who's going to make all the yards and the touchdowns. I know Gronk is here, but the chemistry that Brady and Howard put together early on was something that he never had with Jameis. It just wasn't. Remember how Jameis and Mike like seemed to be hermetically sealed? Like that was Howard and Brady, and Howard was having a great season. He was doing really well mm-hmm. in those first four games. Then that Achilles went down. I expect him to pick up right where he left off. There is a little bit of a rumor bug, and I'm not trying to start anything, but OJ Howard really didn't like Jameis so much. Not that he didn't like him as quarterback, but he sort of, the feeling that I understand is that he really disapproved of some of the things he did off the field. Was something that really, you know, didn't jive. Like, you needed a little more than a sorry. You know, I was like, well, you got to do a little more than that. You know, well, you're still in my doghouse.
No, well, not only that, but let's face it. When it came to tight ends, you know, there was one that Jameis preferred over the other. And he preferred Cameron Brate over OJ Howard.
Ooh.
I mean, you could see it. They had, you know.
They did. They also had a really great connection.
Yes.
Howard, so, or Brayton, Jameis, they did. They were, yeah, lockstep.
That was his safety valve. That was his security blanket.
Yeah.
It was Cameron Brate. It wasn't OJ Howard. And I'm sure that, you know, if OJ Howard had been that sort of guy that Jameis was looking for when things went to hell in a handbasket,
right,
maybe OJ would have a different opinion of Jameis than that.
When Jameis dropped back in the pocket and it hit 7 seconds.
And went, oh, Jesus. Oh, Jesus.
Oh, Jesus. Don't fumble.
No, don't throw that way either.
So, yes, the person who watches OJ Howard, ask how he's doing, see what the connection is. OJ Howard's going to have a big year. I'm not promoting him for fantasy because Gronk is there Brate's going to get his touches as well. But the big plays, explosive plays, they're going to come from OJ Howard. He just got to learn to not to let people land on his legs, because it's almost every time that's how he gets injured. I know the Achilles, no one landed on him, but the three previous injuries was somebody landing on the back of his legs, because I don't know what happens.
Yeah.
Put on catcher's shin guards and put them on backwards. Run around like that.
Maybe it would work. It certainly would work. All right. So now we move out wide. Receiver wise, there's so many options this year. You're gonna see guys running down the sidelines. If you're going to training camp, or if you're gonna be watching the videos on Buccaneers.com, or if you're watching on the local television stations here, because they'll be out there doing videos.
What's television? That's Facebook. That's for old people.
Exactly. For me, I mean, you've got, you know, Mike Evans, Chris Godwin.
Yep.
You know, there should be no questions. For either of
Antonio Brown, Scotty Miller, Tyler Johnson. They're all making the team.
Those are the guys that you don't have to think.
Right. About. Which makes it a huge year for Jay Watt. What I got is Justin Watson. A little background. Justin Watson was a guy. He's from Penn Ivy League school. He's really fast. He's a lot faster. Like, he might be as fast as Scotty. He's that fast. Been a very good to outstanding special teams player. I thought he and all the, you know, sort of me picking through all the reports of Tom Brady last year, because remember, like, you know, there's drones flying over Berkeley Prep, and Stroud is you know, bringing on a photographer with a 9-foot lens so he can get some shots, and like, we didn't know what was going on, but Jay Watt was going to those passing, I guess, camps, we'll call them. He was doing well, and you saw the team try to get Jay Watt involved. The problem was, when they did, both times they got returned for touchdowns.
Yeah.
When Tom Brady had those two pick sixes early on, they were both going to Jay Watt. You never saw him again. Almost never. I think he caught maybe 2-3 passes the rest of the year. Banished to special teams.
I was going to say, he was officially in Tom's doghouse.
Yeah.
He's like, after that.
Yeah. So it's a big year for Jay Watt. I'm going to say he doesn't make the team. And it's not because he doesn't deserve to be on an NFL roster. It just, he can't crack this one unless they keep six. But then no, because you got Darden.
Yeah.
Darling.
You got Jalen Darling.
Jalen Darling. Who's probably going to win the punt return.
Yeah.
And maybe kickoff return job.
Yep. And there's your sixth.
Yeah.
Because, you know, even though Justin Watson is a special teams guru, like, he's been good.
He's got seven tackles. I looked it up. Like, BA's like, oh yeah, he's great on special. I looked up seven tackles he had last year. The leading guy in the NFL had 21. He had seven. So let's not.
But he's not
Don Beebe.
Yes, but you know, I think it says something when you have a fast wide receiver that isn't the returner. Like, that should tell you something about.
No, yeah. Ooh, all right. What are you saying? He's chicken.
I'm just saying that there's something, because usually if you've got a guy that has some wheels on him, you would want him bringing the football down the field.
Yeah.
So either A, he doesn't have the vision to see the holes.
Okay.
When he's on special teams, or B, they're concerned about his ball security.
That's the only thing I can think of. I like it.
So,
hey, there you go. I'm going to ask that too. There's something we can all ask.
There you go.
Why isn't Jay Watt getting any chances so far to return punts? Okay,
why do you hate Justin Watson?
Well, that's easy.
Fool me once, shame on you.
Yeah, watch the Saints in the Chargers game. There you go.
There you go.
Before we move on, G Vegas asked us a long time ago, and I told him I'd get him and bring it up, and I think we should address it. What scenario do you think that Godwin stays with the Buck next year? Either he has a mediocre season, or give a hometown discount, and he puts, I believe that's what he thinks is going to happen, in parentheses. So what do you think? Let's start here. The date to be able to sign a player that's on your team to an extension is come and gone. Yes. Chris Godwin did not get that. He's on the franchise tag. He's playing this year on the franchise tag. What do you think is going to happen to Chris Godwin at the end of the season of 2021, going into 2022?
To be honest, I think that that Jason Light's going to have a serious conundrum on his hand, especially if Godwin has a big year, because he's going, I think that he could command that massive paycheck that some of these top wide receivers have gotten, you know, over the course of
what are you talking about?
Well,
20 what?
I think that he could get,
let's look at what Hopkins,
20, yeah,
I think Hopkins is the highest paid, so let's look at, let's look at,
yeah, isn't Hopkins getting like 20, like
27?
Yeah, I was gonna say 26 and a half, maybe. Let's see,
Bernard Hopkins.
Yeah, so let's see. DeAndre Hopkins.
Oh, wait, Bernard Hopkins. That's the boxer.
That's the boxer.
I know football. Doop, doop, doop.
There you go.
What's his first name?
Let's see. DeAndre Hopkins.
DeAndre. I'm sorry. I knew that. Football receiver. Click.
There we go. Oops. That's Spotrac. Let's look at over the cap.
Okay.
He is... he's 25 million. He's going to make 25 million next year.
Okay.
His number this year is only 12 and a half.
Oh, that's probably half being paid half by the Texans or something.
Probably. But you're looking at 25, 27, and 22 over the next 3 years.
Okay.
I could see Chris Godwin and you're talking about a guy who is 29 now, so he'll be...
Godwin?
No, Hopkins.
Okay.
He's 29. Hopkins. No, Hopkins, but I'm saying Godwin is 2 years younger.
He's probably like 20, yeah. Marquette's like 28, so he's like 25.
Yeah, he's 25 or 26. So you're talking about a guy who's younger.
Uh-huh.
And not quite as, you know, he's not as big as Hopkins is.
You know, or is talented.
But I think that you could see him in that 21
Chris
to
Godwin's
20.
25.
What's that?
Chris Godwin's 25 years old.
Yeah, okay. So he'll be 26, so he's 4 years younger, not quite as talented, not quite as big as Hopkins, but I think that you could see him not getting quite to where Hopkins is, but
throw a number out, Tom. Steve, 20... sorry, Tom Carney, that motherfuckers.
I guess sorry. We'll be believing that.
Throw it out. No, I won't believe it.
23 million.
You think he can get as much as 23 million?
I think that being, you know, with his age and his performance, yeah, I could see him getting 5 or 6 years. And you know,
averaging 23 million,
averaging 23. So yeah, you're looking at five and 110 and 130.
Yeah. Here's what I think about Chris Godwin. First off, I've been saying it for months. I think the wide receiver market is going to bust. If I was Chris Godwin, unfortunately, he didn't have the best year due to injury, and then he had the dropsies in the playoffs. But the team loves him. Okay, let's start here, G. Vegas. He's not going anywhere. They're signing him. Period. End of story. Even if they got to throw him on the franchise tag again, which they can do.
I think the
wide receivers market's going to bust. And here's why. If you look around, every team's got like two really good guys. The Bucks have three and a couple of guys in development. Have a really good receiver. You just talk about Justin Watson, can't even make the team. And every year for the past like 3 years, 4 years, maybe even 5 years now, about 4 to 5 number one wide receivers get drafted and they're coming in and they're cheap and there's going to be no end to it. So the market's going to come down, and you have proof this year because Chris Godwin, what is franchise? Is it top 5 or top 10 average?
Franchise is top 5
of the highest paid.
Yeah.
Or,
or 120% of your last year's of your salary from the previous year, whichever is larger.
Okay. So normally where it's going to say it's top five of an average of the top five highest paid wide receivers. The highest paid wide receiver, I believe, is Hopkins, which we just looked at. Oh, he wouldn't have been in it last year, or maybe it's this year. Anyway,
well, $12 million he will count. Be. Yeah, he will be next year, and that's 25.
So the top guys are like 25, 20, around 20, 21, 22, like that. So whatever Godwin's averages it out to, I think it ended up being like $18 million or something. Only one wide receiver all during free agency got a bigger deal than Chris Godwin did, who's playing on the franchise tag. So the market was not reset, and it's not going to be reset, in my opinion, for years. Now, the Bucs aren't going to let Chris Godwin out the door. So what does that mean? Now, I can see also, Steve, that they might have to pay him $22, $23 million a year to keep him. Good point is that the salary cap is going to go up about $20 million next year and maybe even $20 million the year after that. So mm-hmm. It's not such a huge number as it is. I can also see Chris Godwin understanding that he's in a good place. He likes the area. He's got Mike number one. He doesn't have to face number one cornerbacks week in and week out or ever. And he can.
And you may have the GOAT for one more year.
Anyway, I have the GOAT for one more year. They've got talent all over the roster. I can see Godwin taking $18 million, $19 million, $20 million.
If they decide to franchise tag him next year,
right.
I would assume that the franchise tag is probably going to be somewhere in the vicinity of 19 to 20. You know, I bet it's $19 to $20 million next year.
Okay.
And if that's the case, you know, if they franchise him and he's going to end up getting the 120% because it ends up being larger, that's still only $19 million.
Right.
So
I think the only reason they'll franchise tag Chris Godwin is because he, like, first off, the Bucs don't lowball anybody. Okay. They really take care of their people, and people and players know that now. I mean, just look what they did for Antonio Brown. They threw him the ball 19 times in a row, so he could get like an extra like 750 G's in the last game of the year.
Mm-hmm.
So the only reason would be that the Bucs think they have another Super Bowl contender, probably Tom Brady's back. And Godwin, and they just can't, they're just butting heads. Godwin saying, no, I want 25. And they're like, we can't pay you 25. You know, but I think Godwin would not be sort of the fly in the ointment if you slap him with the franchise tag again. And that'd be I really don't see it happening. It'd have to be really push to shove, push come to shove, because you got Tyler Johnson in the hopper. So I really don't. So I'm going to take that back. I don't think the Bucs with the franchise tag. They're not going to let him out the door. They're going to get a deal done. I can see it going anywhere from what you said, 23, but I can see it as low as like $19, $20 million because the market is going down. And I could be wrong, but I think Chris Godwin's going to be one of the last highly paid, like around this bracket, wide receivers. He's going to be one of the last ones. Because the market's going
to
crash.
I think the fact that he's 26 is going to be 26 is going to be the biggest reason why he could get.
Well, that he plays a slot in this offense, which has to block. And you show me a tier one wide receiver with his hands and his ability and his run after the catch and his contested catch radius and his route running that also can block the safety. Like, you know, they're few and far between.
I will tell you that the last wide receiver that I saw that blocked as well as Chris Godwin is Keyshawn Johnson. Keyshawn Johnson was a good blocking wide receiver. I thought that he was, you know, but and I would say that they have that the Bucs have not had a wide receiver that blocks as well as Godwin does since they had Keyshawn.
All right, I don't really remember that, but I'm not gonna say it didn't happen. I got a feeling that you're right. I'm not saying you're wrong. I have a feeling that I remember that maybe a little bit. I would have gone with when they moved Larry Fitzgerald in the slot at Phoenix, he blocked really well. And then of course, the ultimate guy, you know, Hines Ward in Pittsburgh.
Oh yeah. Yeah. If we're going around the league,
yeah.
I'm talking about the Bucks themselves.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Just Tampa Bay. Nobody.
Yeah. The last person that was a Buck that I, the last Bucks wide receiver that I saw.
Guy will block better than Cameron Brait.
Yes.
Of course, so do I. So does a speed bump. Potatoes.
Yeah. So those are the, that's probably going
to
be.
We're going to have to break this up into two shows, man.
I know.
We're an hour long. We're going to have to break this up into three shows.
That, you know what? That's not a bad thing.
All right. Do you got time to sit here and do this for another 2 hours?
I said, my wife's in Tucson.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So we'll do what we're going to do. We're already in an hour. Like, we haven't got the defense yet.
We haven't gotten to the Ring of Honor.
I know. So it's going to be three shows on the podcast. We'll just do this right now. So why don't we? That's what we think about Godwin, G Vegas. I swear to God, we're morphing into like Ren and Brent more and more. It's like Jesus, man. Like, okay, you only talk about one thing. It's an hour.
It doesn't help that I'm a radio guy and I can flap my gums with the best of them.
So why don't you go ahead and I guess should we do an out? Yeah, let's do the
podcast.
Yeah.
And if you're listening to the podcast, we're gonna have a couple of extra episodes
coming at you right away.
pretty quickly. So, but for this episode of the podcast, if you're listening on whatever platform, how can they get a hold of you, Ren?
Best place to find me is on Twitter, at Rendax. I'm there, but that's really not the best way to get a hold of me. The best way to get a hold of me is at the PeterCast, because I'm running that account now. I'm always down to talk Buccaneers football, but if you think your take is too hot there on Twitter, feel free to slide in my DMs, and I can talk Buccaneers football with you there as well, too.
And you can follow me on Twitter and Instagram. I am at Steve Carney, and of course, other non-Buccaneers subject stpete9.com is the way to get a hold of me. So for this episode of the podcast, we will talk to you next time.